Good morning. It's great that you've been able to join us this morning as we continue to think about our vision and values, and in particular about the theme of being devoted to church family. Last Sunday, Dave began this value by thinking about how everyone is valued, how even though we are very diverse people with different gifts, that everybody has got value, and each one of us has gifts that can contribute to the building up of the church. Your gift is needed if our church is to become what God intends it to be. This morning we're moving on and thinking about the theme of growing together. We are committed to developing a closer relationship with Jesus and with each other. And this morning we're going to be centering our thoughts around this passage of scripture in Acts chapter 2, from verse 41 through to 47, which I'm going to read to us now from the NIV translation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Our passage begins with these words, those who accepted his message. And this must be our starting point in understanding this passage. This community of people is defined as those who accepted Peter's message. So we must first ask, what was the message they accepted? Acts begins with the original group of believers, about 120, all being gathered together when what Jesus had promised came to pass. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and begun to speak in Spirit-inspired languages. And this unusual sight attracted the crowd of God-fearing Jews from many nations who had gathered in Jerusalem for the celebration of Pentecost. And in response to their puzzled questions, Peter explains what is happening. He tells the crowd that what they're seeing is evidence that what God had promised many years beforehand was now being fulfilled. The new promised age of the Holy Spirit had begun. The Holy Spirit was being poured out, affecting all sorts of people, young and old, men and women. There was a new availability of the Spirit of God to ordinary people. But before inviting them to share in this experience, there is a message they needed to hear and a response they needed to make. He emphasizes the need of personal response with these words, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from coming judgment." For that's the context of the promise he quotes from the book of Joel. Immediately after the section quoted, Joel describes God's judgment on the nations. The day is coming when we too will all give an account to God. Yet there is something else they need to grasp before they can call on the name of the Lord. And Peter emphasizes its importance. He says, "People of Israel, listen to this. Listen to this. This is what you really need to know." And then he begins by announcing his theme, Jesus of Nazareth. Here is the heart of the matter. Christianity has to do with a person. It has to do with the history of his life. It has to do with the working out of God's purposes through him. "This is what you need to know," says Peter. You need to know about the life of Jesus, to recognize from the evidence of what he did that Jesus was God's appointed messenger. You need to understand about his death, to see how his death fits into God's plan. The Jews were familiar with the idea of sacrifice for sins to restore relationship with God. Jesus' death makes possible our forgiveness. You need to grasp the reality and the significance of his resurrection. His sacrifice for sins was accepted by God, who raised him to life again. You need to understand that God has given him a high place of authority, set at his right hand. And if you haven't yet fully grasped those things about Jesus, then engaging in the Alpha course is a great way to explore that further. And we'll share a few more details at the end of the message. Peter climaxes his proclamation with these words: "Be assured, God has made this Jesus both Lord and Messiah." The Jews that Peter was addressing well understood the significance of those terms. Lord was a title that in their scriptures was frequently used for God. Jesus was more than human. He was God clothed with human flesh and human nature. And Messiah was the one that their scriptures had promised God would send to bring salvation. So when Peter calls them to repent, he is calling them to respond to Jesus. Repentance is not just about feeling sorry for the wrongs we've done. It's not about feelings of guilt. Biblical repentance is a realignment of our lives with respect to Jesus. It's about choosing to trust him and seeking to follow his teaching and his leading in our lives. Those who accepted Peter's message signified their acceptance by being baptized in water and formed the community that is described for us in verses 42 through to 47. The impact of their receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit was to bind this diverse group of people together in a close-knit community, a community characterized by four things: devotion to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. As Jews, they were already devoted to the Old Testament scriptures. Now they have a similar devotion to the teaching of the apostles, which of course we now have in the New Testament in our Bibles. This fourfold devotion is at the heart of what we're considering today: growing together. We are committed to developing a closer relationship with Jesus and with each other. We develop closer relationship with Jesus by discovering and doing his will through studying the Bible, through worship and celebration and communion of his sacrificial death for us, and through communication with him in prayer, much of which we have touched on in earlier messages. So this morning I want to focus on developing closer relationships with each other, on building fellowship, on being devoted to church family. The descriptions we have of the church in Acts show it to be characterized by a strong sense of community. And two words describe the community we encounter in Acts 2: sharing and caring. Sharing, we read they were together and had everything in common. Not that they lived in some sort of commune, for we read a few verses later that they met both in the temple and in their homes. But it does indicate a high level of involvement with one another, a sharing together in one another's lives. Church was characterized not by formal, but by family-type relationships. It is not that they lived in a private sphere into which occasionally they allowed others to intrude. Togetherness was a dominant feature of church life. I wonder if you've ever been engaged in one of these experiments that I did at school, where you have a piece of paper and you sprinkle over it a random collection of iron filings. And then you put a magnet beneath the paper, and as you tap the paper, the filings are organized into a pattern created by the invisible force of the magnet below the paper. And this is the sort of impact the Holy Spirit made on the early church. A random collection of individuals was drawn together by an invisible force into a pattern of relationships which created community into which others were attracted. Sharing and caring. Selling possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as he had need. This does not mean that they divested themselves of all possessions. They still had homes to meet in and presumably furniture as well. However, it does speak of their readiness to make sacrifices for others, to pay the cost of genuinely caring for one another. They certainly had a radically different attitude to possessions, regarding them not as objects for personal enrichment, but as opportunity for caring initiatives. Conscious that they possessed a greater treasure, they held lightly to this world's goods. And it's easy for us to read this and miss its impact, perhaps to conclude that the action that they took was appropriate to their situation in Jerusalem. After all, the church was made up of people from many different nations who were in Jerusalem for Pentecost. And probably many of them didn't live there. And yet they continued for a period to learn more about their newfound faith. Perhaps, therefore, it was necessary for them to have some sort of support fund. But our situation is different, or at least we can tell ourselves that. To think that way, I think, misses the point. These first Christians were prepared, when need arose, to make sacrifices, to pay a high price to care for one another. I don't know how you react to that. I find it deeply challenging how easily things grip our hearts and become too important to us. The message to us from the example of these Christians is that we need to treasure people more than possessions. And notice the powerful attraction of such community. Here were people who were together and were glad in God, and what an impact they made. It says they enjoyed the favor of all the people, and they were growing continually in numbers. There's an attractive power in such community. There was then, and there is now. The society in which we live is moving in the direction of increasing fragmentation, leading to an increased experience of isolation. I need hardly elaborate on that. The evidence is all around us. But if we in church can be a genuine, sharing, caring community, we have a treasure to offer an impoverished world. So let me wind up with a few practical suggestions. If you would like to gain a better understanding of what it means to be a Christian, Alpha is a great way to do that. Following a video presentation, there is opportunity to ask questions and to discuss the presentation. And we have an online Alpha happening every Thursday evening. And if you would like more details, more information, or would like to be involved in that, then all you need to do is contact Dave and he will give you all the details. I would thoroughly recommend that if you really want to grasp what it means to be a Christian, or to develop your understanding of what it means to be a Christian, Alpha is a great way to do that. Unfortunately, COVID restrictions prevent us from meeting in one another's homes. But how about determining that when the restrictions are lifted, you will use your home to share fellowship with others? perhaps to invite others around for refreshments or for a meal, to share together and to build deeper friendship. And I want to encourage us to make maximum use of our present opportunities. If you have a computer or a smartphone, you can join our online Gather Together meetings on Wednesday evenings, which run from 8 o'clock until about 9:15 or so. And I'd really encourage you to do that. It's a great opportunity to share together and to strengthen our friendships. And of course, we can always support one another through prayer. And our Day of Prayer WhatsApp group will keep you informed about others' needs and enable you to pray effectively. And we have had some really encouraging answers to prayer as we've shared together on that group. So I want to end by encouraging you to think of ways in which you can live out this value. We are committed to developing a closer relationship with Jesus and with each other.